On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Whether you're listening live right now, either in the Seattle area or around the world, or after the fact on one of the 90 stations where this shows up, or on the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com, you're going to be so grateful you joined us here today, because we're going to talk about something about changing your own personal reality through intention, not just for yourself, but potentially for someone else. I'm really excited about our guest today, Lynn McTaggart. She is one of the central voices in the new consciousness movement. And I love the fact that she has this scientific perspective, but she's open-minded to looking at things in a broader perspective. And when you combine those two things together, it's very powerful. She is an award-winning author of 7 books, including worldwide bestsellers, The Field, which is the first of hers that I read, which is just groundbreaking, The Intention Experiment, The Bond, and her latest very profound book, The Power of 8. She serves as editorial director of What Doctors Don't Tell You, one of the world's most highly praised health publications. And Lynn and her husband, who's the co-founder of What Doctors Don't Tell You, Brian Hubbard, they live in work in London, UK, and I think that Lynn's around the world much of the time as well. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Lynn McTaggart. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Great to be with you again, Christine.
It's great to have you. And, you know, I really am very, very excited about your latest work. And it's not just about the book and the information. It's what you're doing with this. And you are helping to shift the world. And I know that you've always had this scientific perspective, and as a journalist, you've had that kind of skepticism, which is really, it's not about being narrow-minded, it's being open-minded and yet discerning, and you have found some surprising things along the way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you could have told me in my 20s that this is what I was going to be doing all these years later, I would have laughed in your face. It's really, I guess my own curiosity has got me to some really surprising places in my life. And one of them really is, you know, the rebound power of group intention. I didn't set out to find this. I never expected it. And in fact, the whole thing was pretty shocking to me.
Well, it's interesting because I know that many of us who've been on our conscious journeys have learn to focus on our personal intention. And, you know, many of us have discovered the power of that. However, you've chosen to take it a step beyond that. And what led you to sort of looking at the group intention?
Well, I wanted to test intention and really put it to the ultimate test because, you know, a lot of people have been talking about the law of attraction and the secret and talking about it in a very casual way, which, of course, always grates with this journalist in me that is always looking for evidence and proof. So mm-hmm. I was wondering, okay, yeah, if your thoughts create reality, and certainly there was some evidence that I'd unearthed, some very good frontier scientific evidence that I wrote about in The Field, suggesting that thoughts are an actual something with the capacity to change mm-hmm. physical matter. So the idea I had was, okay, let's see how far we can take this. You know, can we fly with our thoughts? Can we cure cancer with our thoughts? Are we talking about just very, very teeny subtle effects, like shifting uh-huh. a quantum particle? So I thought, well, I know all these scientists who are working in consciousness research and frontier science, And I also have lots of readers around the globe because the field by that time was in 30 languages around the world.
Wow.
So I thought, well, I'll just put them together. I'll just have all my readers every so often come onto my website and send an intention to some well-controlled target somewhere that's set up by a scientist in a lab. And that's the way we'll test it. And so we started in 2007, and I didn't really expect it was going to work. I was pretty skeptical myself about it, and I had a lot of qualifiers in my book, The Intention Experiment, saying, hey, we're just going to test this, just asking the questions, good enough. But the bottom line is it really did work. I mean, it hugely worked. We've done 32 experiments to date, and 28 of them have shown measurable, positive, mostly significant effects. And, there are no agents out there like pharmaceutical drugs that have that kind of consistent, positive track record. So, it worked. And we tried everything from very subtle effects, like trying to affect a very subtle property of a leaf or trying to make seeds grow faster, to trying to purify water, to trying to lower violence in war-torn areas. And we've been doing that recently, and even trying to heal somebody with post-traumatic stress disorder. So we've tried lots of things and with different scientists, and we keep having consistently positive effects. But as you said, that was surprising to me, but it wasn't the big surprising thing about it. The big surprising thing was what was happening to the groups of intenders themselves. They started having effects, big effects. They were getting rebound effects. So if they were intending for peace, their lives became more peaceful. I mean, I know this because I surveyed our participants, and we were getting back these extraordinary stories that they felt, first of all, they were entering some sort of weird altered state. Thousands wrote about how they were feeling like they were part of a higher network, or they were crying uncontrollably, or they had energy running up and down their arms like electricity, or they felt like they were in some sort of Star Trek tractor beam. But they were also describing making up with estranged relatives, getting along better with their coworkers and their boss, getting along better with their spouses, and even, getting along and loving strangers. About half of the people said they were in love with everyone they came in contact with. And these were thousands of replies in our survey.
And
they were hugging strangers.
So this wasn't just like their perception, but they actually also were experiencing changes in their life circumstances. So like better relationships with family members or colleagues. That's something that is not just something that's a personal perception. There are other people involved.
No, and the weird thing was a lot of them reported that someone else's relationship to them had completely altered. And that happened many, many instances where my wife is suddenly wonderful to me. So obviously some change in them was changing someone else too. And there were so many of these. It wasn't the odd comment, and there have been so many of them. This particular kind of situation where peace was radiating out tended to be the mirror effect of our peace experiments. We've run 5 of them to date. And every single time I have surveyed the participants and had exact same responses where their lives become more peaceful, their relationships fundamentally change. Things about them change too. Their life's purpose changes. Many quit their jobs and join more philanthropic type of things or join the Peace Corps. It really, really made some major, major changes. I know one woman wrote me a whole diary of how her boyfriend, a skeptic, had completely changed after the peace intention experiment. I mean, first of all, he was very different with her and listening. She's a Reiki practitioner, and he used to ignore all of that and poo-poo it. And then he was willing to just be open-minded. But also, he participated in the last day of the peace experiment. He had this kind of altered state experience, too, and it completely changed him. And he kept trying to figure out what on earth had happened to him.
Wow, this is amazing. So from your perspective, is there something special about the group versus individuals in tending? Like, you know,
definitely.
I really
saw that when I started playing around with small groups. Around 2008, which was a year after I started the intention experiments, I started putting people into small groups in my workshops, and I had done it really by accident. I was trying to figure out how to run workshops to show people about the power of intention. And, you know, being a journalist, I wasn't really used to workshops. I'm not a personal development trainer. So I was kicking around the idea with my husband one day and just said, well, I don't know, maybe I'll just put people into groups of eight or so and just have them, you know, send intention to some member of the group with a health challenge. And my husband's a great headline writer, so he sort of chuckled about it and said, yeah, the power of eight, I love it. And so we just started this as a, you know, it was just an exercise, just an experiment itself. And I expected it was going to be a little bit like having a facial or having a back massage, just kind of a feel-good effect. But that's not what happened. I mean, the next day, we had the recipients stand up, take the microphone in turn, and just say what had happened to them. And they started reporting things like, one person had very bad arthritis in one knee and she was walking normally that day. Another person had terrible migraines and they were, you know, always, and they were completely gone. She couldn't remember how well she had felt like that. We had somebody else with IBS, her stomach felt normal, and somebody else with cataracts, she was 80% better. And, you know, and so it went on. We were both pretty shocked by that. I discounted it. I thought, no, this is just a placebo effect, until I continued to run it, you know, over and over again. And I've now run thousands of groups, and we see this every single time. There are giant, major, extraordinary healing effects. And it's not just the people who are the recipient of the group's intention. It is the senders as well. That we get many reports of the senders having fundamental life changes too.
And this is the mind-blowing piece of this, Lynn. As you talked about in the field, and as scientists have discovered that thoughts are energy in a sense, and yes, they can influence things. And so as you're sending a thought towards somebody, you know, I can understand how that has that potential effect on somebody, you know, through that intention, that aim, you know, that focus. But it's fascinating that the so-called side effect is what happens to the individual. And we're going to talk more about this in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned for more with Lynn McTaggart.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Lynn, I love the subtitle of your book, The Power of Eight, Harnessing the Miraculous Energies of Small Group to Heal Others, Your Life, and the World. I mean, that's a really tall order. And before the break, you were talking a little bit about, but something that so many of us on our conscious journeys want, not just for ourselves and our own lives and those we care about, but for the world. Now, I'm fascinated by this this so-called side effect of the individuals who are sending the intention actually getting something out of it. And you alluded to it a little bit before, but can you share some specific examples of how people were surprised by their own kind of personal side effect?
Yes. I mean, one of my favorite stories of a person with a side effect is a guy called Wes, who I met just last summer. I had recruited two Power of Eight groups from the Mile High Church in Denver just to be guinea pigs. And I wanted to just follow what was happening with them just after doing some single intentions to see what was, you know, going on. And I wanted to teach that church how to use these skills anyway. And we thought we'd film two of the groups before I did that for a show I was doing with Gaia TV. So I did in a hotel room. I was just there with the eight of one of the groups. And they sent intention to a woman with cancer, stage 4 cancer. And by the way, she's now down to, she's less than stage 1 now. And they also did,
I know,
she was doing a lot of other things, I have to say anyway, but the intention itself brought it down a whole marker, a whole number from 3, which is, you know, probably has the presence of cancer. This was disseminated lung cancer, to 2, which is about close to normal. And so we had that. We had a woman whose business, her husband and her business was really on rocky. It looked like they were going to lose their major client, and they only had a few big clients. And so after the intention, they started getting far more diversified. Business just came in from different people. And by the way, their big client decided to stay. So there was some interesting thing that's happened. But Wes was a 65-year-old Vietnam vet. He had been at college studying, well, he wanted to be in medical science or biochemical science. You know, he was studying sciences, the idea of being a doctor. And in his sophomore year, they removed the possibility of draft deferments because of college. So you didn't have any more university deferments. He had a very low lottery number, so he knew he was going to get drafted. And the last thing he wanted to be was in combat, but he ended up being in combat in the midst of those last chaotic years of the war. So not surprisingly, it was pretty traumatic. He came home, he was very depressed, and his life just carried on with a kind of downward spiral. He never went back to finish college. One bright spark was meeting the love of his life as his second wife, but she only lasted with him 7 years. She got a fast-growing cancer and died. And it was not only devastating to him emotionally, but he took 6 years of having to lose his house and lots of other things to pay the extraordinary medical bills on her behalf. So it was such a sad story. By the age of 65, Wes had got to the point where it was kind of, what's the use? He was living in a senior facility. He was having a hard time even getting up and doing the simplest stuff, making breakfast. So he didn't want to put himself forward. He felt other people were more deserving. He was part of that church, which kind of kept him going, but he really wanted intention for his depression. Anyway, the next day he wakes up and he says, after doing the intention for the other two in the group, and he says, first of all, he had complete sensory changes, like drinking a cup of herbal tea just knocked his socks off. And, you know, the flowers smelled sweeter than they ever have. He just had this amazing, almost like altered, you know, a feeling of a mystical experience. And also, he had his depression felt that it had lifted. He found everything he needed to do that day was really, really easy. And also, that next night, he had a dream where he met his 19-year-old self on campus of the university he was at, and who somehow communicated to him, "Don't worry, don't feel bad, there's still time." And it was just an extraordinary experience. Powerful. And he now, he's writing, he's doing 90-minute power walks, he's exercising like he's a 19-year-old, he says, again. It's like he's got back his mojo. It's just amazing. So, and this is, I hear this from so many, that altered state experience of the small group, which we've been able to measure with brain studies. Life University, the largest chiropractic university, has done brain studies on our Power of Eight groups with total novices, and they find that their brain wave signatures show a global quieting of the parts of the brain that make us feel separate, you know, that distinguish self from not self, the parietal lobes, and also the parts of the brain that register worry, doubt, negativity. All of these things are turned way down. They are the identical brainwave signatures to a Buddhist monk involved with ecstatic prayer or a Sufi master involved in chanting. They are.
And we're talking novices here.
We're talking people who have never done this before, who haven't even meditated before. I mean, most of these people who do this kind of thing, you know, Sufi masters study for years and years and years. Buddhist monks practice for years and years and years. Our people were student volunteers, most of whom never had meditated before, and all they had was a 13-minute video from me telling them how to do this. And nevertheless, they were identical. These were people in a state of ecstatic oneness. And when you asked me before, what's the group effect? That's the group effect. That's what makes it different, is the whole thing of suddenly feeling like part of something bigger. And that, when we're doing intention together, that is really what I find the most powerful part of the entity. But there's another big piece of it, too, we haven't talked about, which is the power of altruism. You know, most self-help things, most healing modalities are about healing me, about healing my stuff. You know, all the personal development stuff is about self-help. But this is all about other help, and there's a lot of great science to support the extraordinary power of altruism and how that reflects back on the doers, on the senders.
Yes. And I know that there's some people such as Bernie Siegel, you know, back in the late 1980s when I was facing the early stages of cancer, and there wasn't much out there about the self-help, about, you know, the mind-body connection and using intention. He used to recommend to all of his patients to go help others. Like that, he was promoting that. And so you're saying that there's now scientific evidence that indicates that helping others can have a potentially positive impact on ourselves?
Yes, and Bernie Siegel is so great. He was such a man before his time. Yes. I mean, now we see, first of all, there was a wonderful study I saw of a psychologist priest who wanted to find out, so he was both, he wanted to find out whether or not spiritual healing and prayer could help people with mental illness. You know, certainly there's plenty of evidence showing that prayer has some effects with physical illness. But so he recruited 400 people with clinical depression, put them into two groups, had one group be the receivers. They were going to get the prayer. And the other group were going to be the senders. They were going to send the prayer. And he used all kinds of psychological measurements to see what happened afterward. And he found the people who had got the prayer did well. They were improved, but not anywhere near as improved as the people who had given the prayer, who had had sent the prayer. They were off the charts. So that was really fascinating to me. And when I looked further about the power of altruism, you know, all the studies on altruism show that people who do things for other people, no matter how small, live longer, are happier, are healthier in every regard. If you're sick with something and you help somebody else with the same illness, you are more likely to feel better, get better, have less pain, fewer side effects, et cetera, et cetera. But also what you find is it has this real huge refreshing power on the immune system. When you're doing for other people, it's like a, you know, it acts as a boost to your own immune system and keeps and carries on working.
Interesting. This is fascinating, Lynn, and we're going to go to another quick break. But when we return, I'm going to want you to talk about how people actually go about being a part of these groups and what they need to learn and what's entailed. More with Lynn McTaggart and the Power of Eight when we return here in just a few moments.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Baby, you sent me out.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm so enjoying my conversation with Lynn McTaggart, who's the author of numerous best-selling books. And her latest book is The Power of Eight, Harnessing the Miraculous Energies of Small Group to Heal Others, Your Life, and the World. Now, Lynn, you were talking about these small groups of eight, and how I think they watch like a 13-minute video, and they're novices, and yet they can get to this place of having powerful effects, not only on others, but also on themselves. But what is actually entailed when you're in one of these groups?
Well, in my book, The Power of Eight, I've gone through all of the techniques that are really useful in creating a group. A few of the things, and there's quite a number of them, so it's a little bit too hard to enumerate everything, but I'll give you a couple of ideas. First of all, it's really important that everybody frame the same intention statement together. And that can be, our intention is that, and I usually say frame it positively, so our intention is that Jane Doe be free of all pain in her right knee type thing. A really important thing that I found works, and I found it in the big intention experiments as well as the small Power of Eight groups, is being very specific. That's a really important element here, because most people and a lot of healing modalities talk about being very general and allowing the universe to decide. In our experience, that's more like prayer, and this is something very different. It's a very specific request, and we've found, I know with some of the big intention experiments, when we've just been very amorphous about what we've sent, say just sent love to water or something like that, we don't have as big an effect as if we actually quantify what we want to have happen. And so I always talk about being very, very specific. So people frame that together, and they're very specific, and they hold the thought essentially together with the party that's receiving being part of the group, or can be remote from the group. It doesn't really seem to matter.
So I find this sort of interesting about the very specific intention here, because as a former Reconnected Healing instructor, what we taught is just as practitioners to let go and allow. And yet, what's very clear to me is that each individual who comes in, whether or not they believe in energy healing or not, they actually have some intentions for themselves.
Sure.
And so I'm just trying to understand this concept of lack of intention versus intention when sort of focusing for somebody else.
Well, I think the difference, there is less of a difference than we think. I just did a teleseminar with Eric Pearl a week or two ago, and we were talking just about our differences. First of all, everybody should understand there's not just one way to heal someone. I mean, there's a lot of ways of healing that use slightly different modalities. But it doesn't mean that one works and one doesn't work. You know, so many different techniques, from Reiki to Reconnective to the Power of Eight, all work. They all have very good track records. So it's about what is comfortable for you, what works for you. I mean, what I have found is, when we're talking about not being individual, you know, when you get into that group, remember, it's not just about having this individual oomph intention. You are actually losing yourself in a larger entity. And in a sense, it is, you're entering an altered state of consciousness. You are entering a higher state of consciousness. And in that arena, healing seems to happen. In that feeling of total altruism, of giving of yourself, you know, you are just giving as you are providing love. Now, that's a very similar situation with Reconnective Healing. You're just providing love and allowing. So you can say whether or not, you know, the words may be different, but the message is the same, you know, and that's, and it's, Yeah, and that's where the, you know, the differences in the techniques are just getting to the same place via a different means.
Mm-hmm. And I know that when I healed myself of cancer years ago, decades ago, I used intention. This was back when psychoneuroimmunology, the mind-body connection, that was a brand new science. And I thought belief is everything. And then when I got involved with reconnective healing, you basically let go and you don't have any intention for the client, and saw amazing healings. And one of the things that confused me for a long time, and being a rational-minded individual who's also very intuitive, but I want answers, right? I sort of put the question out there, what's the unifying factor? And one day it kind of hit me, one of these head-to-toe answers that come in the form of shivers and knowingness, is that it relates to that vibration of allowing, that place of surrender, whether we're doing it for ourselves or whether we're sending it to somebody else or creating that vibration, say, in a healing session. And I think about what you're talking about with this group of eight. When you've got people focusing together and having this group experience where they can sort of let go and be a part of, and not just focus on their own problems, then that creates that place of acceptance and allowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so they are sending love to someone. They are wanting that person to get better. And what people say, who are the recipients, but also the senders too, is there's a lot of crying that goes on in these groups because people aren't used to receiving this. Because they're not used to receiving this unconditional love from total strangers. You know, having seven other total strangers send love to you and healing desire for you is powerful, is extraordinary, is transformational. Uh-huh. I had one woman recently who said it felt like these warm mitts. She had really bad arthritis in her knee, and she was due to have a knee replacement. And she felt during the group, she felt like she had hands like giant mitts on her knee, just fixing it. And right afterwards, she was able to do a deep squat, something she hadn't been able to do for years. And, you know, her knee's fine.
Wow.
She's canceled surgery, et cetera. Amazing story.
Fabulous.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Somebody else who's an empath and an intuitive said, it was interesting, she said what she saw was light beings behind every one of the group. Now, that's an interesting one. I have no way of verifying that. That's just what she told me. But she's not the only one to say that there was, you know, some sort of surrounding in light. I think it is and also you have the altered state. The people talking about feeling like they're in an altered state, we have the brainwave studies to demonstrate that. And people afterward, in both the big groups with the intention experiments and the small groups with the Power of Eight groups, talk about their life changing, you know, having some sort of rejuvenation. I was fascinated to read Abraham Maslow, you know, who did his hierarchy of needs, the psychologist. He also studied peak experiences, you know, mystical states. And he talked about, and he identified something like five different characteristics of it. And they are things like feeling energy, feeling this overwhelming sense of oneness, feeling like there's a higher power, a feeling of incredible rejuvenation, you know, and our participants in these Power of Eight groups tend to feel all five different things. When they come out of it, something's really changed for them, some perspective, their sense of their lives, like Wes. You know, something is amazingly rejuvenated. And, of course, that happens, as I say, with the giant intention experiments, too. I mean, the most powerful effects for me are the effects of people doing these big intention experiments for peace. What happens when you have warring groups? Afterward, they are really changed. Recently, last November, we did an intention with participants from eight Arab countries. I was working I was involved in a seminar run by a guy who's like the Deepak Chopra of the Middle East, and he has a studio in the south of England with the capacity to beam out to 9 different locations. So they see me, uh-huh. I see them, and they can see each other from the different locations. So we had cameras in conference rooms filled with people in 8 different Arab countries. So we had people from Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Bahrain and Oman and et cetera. And then the 9th one, I had been working with an Israeli documentary maker, and we ended up putting a camera in an auditorium filled with Israeli Jews. So we had Arabs and Jews, and we decided to do an intention experiment for a part of the old city of Jerusalem that had a lot of violence. And so everybody did this together. And then afterward, this is the really amazing part, I asked the participants to say how it was. And we had Arabs, because again, they can talk to each other, the different groups, saying to the Jews, your God is my God. And we had the Jews saying to the Arabs, we love you, sister. You know, we need to stop all of this violence and blah, 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 blah. And love, love, love being sent back and forth. Total love fest. Now, the Arabs told us afterward, this is so amazing because they've never actually seen a live Jew before. You know, they're told that these people have horns coming out of their heads. So it was extraordinary. And written up in a lot of the press, in the Israeli press, and tweeted about by ministers in Kuwait as being a kind of way forward. Because what you're talking about is a transformational effect of multicultural prayer, essentially, and how that brings people together.
Yeah. We have to go to another quick break, but when we return, we're going to share with you how you can connect with Lynn and how you can work with her in person here in what I consider to be the Pacific Northwest, but it's actually Canada. So I guess it's technically the Pacific Southwest. More with Lynn Taggart here in just a few moments.
Please join us for a transformational conference with 5, that's right, 5 of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's shalohaproductions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected.
True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. This hour is flying by, Lynn. I want to make sure before we go any further that you share with our listeners first how they can connect with you and talk a little bit about your upcoming events in June because they're very exciting.
Sure. People can connect with me on lynnmctaggart.com. And we also have a portion of our website that is devoted to people who want to set up their own Power of Eight virtual groups. It's lynnmctaggart.com/forum. And if you sign up there, what you can do is put a little notice that you want to set up a Power of Eight group in a particular time zone to gather people who can be meeting with you regularly via Skype or Google Hangouts or Zoom, or you can join an existing group. And there are hundreds of groups around the world that have already been forming. And I should point out that all of this is well as it does in person. Many of my most extraordinary successes, have to do with people who have never actually met each other in person. So that's really interesting. But we're also doing, I have a couple of events that are really, I hope, interesting for people. First of all, I'm part of a conference that's being run in Vancouver Island on the June 14th to 19th. And while the conference itself, I'm joined by Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton, Joe Dispenza, Lee Carroll. The event of itself is sold out, but some of our workshops still have some space. And my workshop is on Monday, June 18th, and it's a full-day course about how to use intention. And I'll be going through some of the most important techniques involved in intention and group intention, but also talking about things like negative intention and how to protect yourself. And we'll be having some fun, not only practicing with Power of Eight groups, but also working with retro intention. The science, this is mind-boggling stuff.
Oh, okay. I'm curious.
Well, the amazing thing of it is, the science shows that our whole idea of time as a forward-moving arrow is really wrong. That is a human construct. And that time, in a bigger sense, in a quantum sense, is much more like one big smeared out now. So we found in some of our intentions is going back to seed moments when something first occurred, the splitting up of a relationship, the beginning of an illness, something like that, tends to affect things going forward after our intention. So it's a really interesting experiment with time, and we'll be doing that at our incredible one-day workshop on that June 18th on Monday. So people can find out. Yeah, people can find out about that on my website if they just go to lynnmctaggart.com and click on events and go to the Science and Spirituality Conference, or they can just Google that, Science and Spirituality Conference, Vancouver Island, 2018, and they'll find out more about my workshop. The other thing that I have coming up that's really quite fun, which is a teleseminar, is really aimed at people who are healing therapists, alternative therapists of all varieties, nurses, even doctors. And it is called Become a Better Healer with the Power of Eight, because one thing I found is that even if healers who already have an excellent track record for improving their clients' health have people they don't manage to help. and they don't know how to have their patients carry on healing themselves. So what I've been doing is working with people who are also professionals, finding that you can use some of these intention techniques to help the most intractable patients combat, for instance, self-sabotage by overcoming their own negative thinking. But also dealing with and becoming conscious of your own expectation of what's going to happen. Because even if you expect that you aren't going to have any intentions for something, every healer makes a diagnosis. Every healer has an expectation, some sort of expectation as to whether or not their client's improving. Every healer makes a judgment about it. And so one of the things we're going to work on is taking that out of the equation and just working with the patient in imagining and even rehearsing the final outcome, like the feelings of elation after the cure. And getting rid of that thought form that says, this kind of patient doesn't usually get better, or this is going to take a long, tough road to heal. Those kinds of judgments I've heard over and over again, and they, even when they're kept to themselves, are never kept to themselves, because one of the things that people will learn in this and a lot of the work with me is that we're all leaky buckets. We're sending out intention all the time. Our thoughts are being transmitted all the time, whether we like it or not.
And as a healer, for at least the first 8 to 10 years working as a healer, I ask that people not tell me when they were first coming in, because that way I couldn't have attachment or judgment one way or another. Because, you know, as humans, we care about each other and we think, okay, well, we really want to fix this for this person, but it goes beyond that, kind of like, oh my gosh, they've got stage 4 whatever cancer, you know, like that could be tough to cure, tough to heal. And there's something magical if you can just come from this perspective of, well, this is where things are at right now. I'm standing beside this person, totally accepting where they're at, and now what wants to shift? And that's where the magic can come in, that place of, curiosity, and let's see where this wants to go.
Absolutely. And what I'm working on, too, is using the healing power of a Power of Eight group to amplify your own healing ability. Now, that is with the patient, but also the practitioners, and how that has an effect and a group intention effect. Also, that getting into that altruistic state with patients, and again, they don't have to meet in person, can amplify everything for each of them and create mirror effects. So we're going to get into a lot of fun stuff. And that, by the way, is running. Yeah, it is really exciting. We're doing a webinar, and it's 3 sessions between June 23rd and June 30th. So people can find out more about that by just coming onto my homepage of my website, and they'll see a message about that there on lynnmctaggart.com.
Yeah, and I'm going to spell this for people, LynnmctaggArt.com, lynnmctaggart.com. Okay, Lynn, we've just got, you know, a little over a minute here, and I'm kind of curious. I know you're also a woman of vision, not just scientific, but you're a woman of vision. Where do you see this headed?
Well, I think right now my task is to be a gatekeeper here of the Power of Eight and to provide this to the world, because I really feel that this is everybody's birthright. You know, the fact that we have these extraordinary healing abilities that have been suppressed for a long time, for millennia, it needs to come out. I also want to protect it, because I think it is an extraordinary spiritual gift. I have a couple of people have approached me, even friends of mine, saying things like, hey, I want to use this. And, you know, and I can see dollar signs going on in, you know, in their heads. And I think, no, we've got to protect this. This is a really powerful entity. And I want to make sure that people know how to do this properly. You know, that was one of the reasons it took me 10 years to write about this. So my thoughts are really to take this out, but also to use it in bigger, bigger methods and ways.
Very, very exciting.
Middle East experience, is just the beginning. We want to make that even bigger.
Lynn, it's always a joy to chat with you and such important work. I thank you for joining me here today.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much, Christine.
And thank you for joining us. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.